Also the pastor of Evangel Church in Rangoon. That church now has a congregation of more than 800 adult members. Before entering the ministry, Brother Chit studied as a state scholar. He was trained in aeronautical engineering and journalism in England. When he returned to his native Burma, he was a teacher at a technical institute where he translated into Burmese the major textbooks used by that institution. Also, he has been associated with the American Embassy of that nation as a journalist. He served as their chief news translator. Some years ago, he became interested in the working of the Holy Spirit. And in those days, he met an Assemblies of God missionary. And that missionary began to further explain and teach the Word of God to him. And he became filled with the Holy Spirit. In 1966, when missionaries were required to leave the nation of Burma, he began to move into the ministry. And today he has a leadership role that gives him oversight of almost 600 national ministers and churches. There are approximately 60,000 members and adherents in the churches that he supervises. We're grateful that God has allowed him to come as a part of this trip to the United States to be a part of the ministry of Central Bible College. Prior to our coming out, he was just briefly explaining to us some of the difficulties that are mandated upon any resident of the country of Burma to leave that country. Someone had to guarantee his return, not only with dollars, but that he would physically return to the country. Any guest of our nation who would like to visit Burma can now have the wonderful privilege of being there a total of 7 days. And that's up from 3 days, which is up from 24 hours of a few years ago. And so we are extremely blessed and honored that Brother Chit is here today to share with us. I feel a beautiful kindred spirit already just in conversation with him. And I know that our lives are going to be blessed and enriched. Let's show him our appreciation as we welcome him to this pulpit today. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Greetings from Burma in the name of Jesus. We're a big family, aren't we? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. No matter where we come from or what culture we have, behind the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain or the rice curtain or even the dollar curtain, we are still free in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my second visit to Springfield by God's grace, and we're not supposed to be here at all, and I've done it twice already, all in the name of Jesus. The first time in 79, they allowed me to leave my country and I went to Sweden. And when Brother Wesley Hurst heard that I was in Sweden, he wrote me, he says, "You have to come to America. Why did you go there first? You must come here. I'm going to send the plane ticket to you. Go to the American embassy. Get the visa. Come over here." And on my passport, Brother Westhurst did not know that it was written, "Good to travel only to Sweden." After I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I used to be very anti-Pentecostal before. I always say to them, "These people are crazy. They are unbalanced. They let the emotions go." But now I'm telling you, I come around and I come back to the AG churches, and I think they are getting to be a little more too sophisticated and And I don't hear too much hallelujahs and praise the Lord anymore. I want to encourage you, keep it up. Because the strength of the church, the outreach of evangelism, is in the power of the Holy Spirit. What would we do without the Spirit? We have our theology, we have our degrees, we have our intellectual understanding and everything, but what will you do without the Holy Spirit? We're hearing about humanism and all of these other philosophical studies that is just coming out of supposed to be Christian institutions. But the Lord says, it is expedient that I go. Because if I do not go, then I cannot send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit from my Father. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. But I have to go so that he can come. And he went and the Holy Spirit came. That was the birth of the Church of Jesus. That was the true Pentecostal church. For the scripture says, every one of them was baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Everyone that belonged to the first church, they were all Pentecostals. And I'm glad that I'm a Pentecostal now. So anyway, the Lord kind of, it was a miracle that he blessed me because I was fighting it all the way. I never even asked for it when the Lord blessed me with the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to repeat that. That's a long story. But I'm going to share with you about this, the spiritual gifts. To me, it was very difficult to understand these things because all the time my church was teaching that this is not for our time, that it's over, and all these spiritual gifts and speaking of tongues and prophesying was just not here with us anymore. And I believed it and I stood for it, but then the Lord taught me better. Because as I was saying, when I went to Sweden with that passport, which was written, good to travel only to Sweden. One Sunday evening, I was preaching at a church in Stockholm. At the close of the church, we were praising the Lord and worshiping. And a lady just stood up and in a clear, distinct voice, she just said, Mjochit, you are going to the United States of America. I have prepared everything for you. Do not be afraid. Habakkuk 3:2 is for you. Your vision shall be fulfilled. I nearly dropped. I said, what is she trying to say? I opened my eyes and I looked and there she was in a kind of a trance. And I wondered, is she all right here? Does she not know where I come from, my situation? How can I go to the United States of America? After the service, I went up to her with the Swedish pastor. I said, sister, what do you mean I go to America? What were you trying to say? She just looked at me and the Swedish pastor said, Mjochit, she can't speak a word of English. I nearly fell again. I said, you heard her? He said, yeah, I heard her. She was prophesying. Oh. So tell her what she says. I said. So the pastor said, and she very calmly says, well, it's from the Lord, it'll happen. So I went back, and a few days later, I received this letter from Brother Hirst saying, you have to come to America. So I says, anyway, I showed this letter to my friend, and he says, come on, let's go down to the American embassy and just find out. It doesn't hurt you. I'll take you over. So about 2 days later, we went to the American embassy and I met the counselor. He looked at my passport and he says, I don't think it's going to be possible. All of a sudden, I just said to him, but I think I'm going. So he says, what makes you so sure? Then I just looked at him straight in the eyes and I says, the Lord says I'm going. He said, who said? I said, the Lord says I'm going. So he grinned at me and he said, you one of those funny preachers? I said, I don't know whether I'm funny or not, but I'm a preacher, all right. So he said, well, then you'll have to leave your passport with me for maybe a month or so. I do not know. I'll have to check with Washington and with Rangoon. I said, just do what you have to do. I can leave my passport with you. I still have the time. So I left the passport. We went back. I almost forgot about it. Then a week later, a phone call came. Reverend Myochit, would you please come and collect your visa for the United States of America? And now I know that these things are for us, especially in these days. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. He's leading us if we would only believe and allow Him. That was a great lesson for me. So I want to encourage you, my friends. Believe what the Bible says, especially about spiritual things, spiritual fruit. It's one thing to come to a Bible college or a university and study about them and read about them and answer your exams and take your degree and walk out. But it's quite another thing to live with it, believe it, and practice it. That's why Jesus came. Because He wants to endue us with His Spirit. The first Protestant missionary that came to our country, as you know, was an American by the name of Adoniram Judson. When Judson left America, he came out as a Congregationalist. When he landed in India, he read his Bible again and the Spirit convicted him that he must be immersed in water. So he was immersed in water in India. Then the British wouldn't have him in India, so he came out to Burma. And when he got to Burma, he became a Baptist without the Baptist boat in America knowing anything about him. There was no foreign missionary boat behind him to support him or do whatever. He just came because the Spirit led him. And Judson was only 21 years old and his wife Anne was only 18 when they landed in Rangoon. And at the age of 15, Judson has done his BA already. When he was 18, he's had his master's. When he landed in Burma, he's done his Greek and his Hebrew. And he just took up Burmese. And he was the one who wrote the Burmese Bible for us. Not only that, he also wrote the Burmese English Dictionary. He also wrote a dictionary for the Buddhist monks that they are still using today. That is Sanskrit into Burmese. Can you imagine? If the Lord wants to use you, He used you. And Judson was mightily used by God. Think of him. In those days, no telephones, no secretaries, no air conditioning, no computers, sitting down there in a little hut by candlelight night after night with mosquitoes around him, writing the word of God for the Burmese people. Sometimes Judson would go up to that big golden pagoda we have in Rangoon, known as the Shwedagon Pagoda, which is the biggest Buddhist pagoda in the world, loaded with gold and precious stones and worth billions of dollars today. Because pilgrims from around the country would come to that temple and to earn their merit, they would go up there and buy these gold leaves and stick them onto those idols. Whatever they earned, they'd come and buy those little gold leaves. And when thousands and millions of people come, and around that big temple, they have these different corners. They have a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday. And first they would go to the fortune tellers. And the fortune teller would advise him, well, you go up to your corner. And you just go out there and do something. So these people come. If you're a Monday child or a Thursday child, he'd go to his own corner. And he'd bring whatever, light a candle. Sometimes they pour water on a little idol there for cleansing. That's the lighting of candles. The cleansing in water. The truth is there, you know. But yet, they are way off. And sometimes they don't even know how to pray or who to pray to. So there are some people. You pay for your prayer. So they buy their prayers. Isn't that tragic? And they don't even understand what he chanted. And then they pour the water on those idols and maybe feel a little better. And here we have the right to call to Jesus anytime and believe that he can hear us. And he does. It is only in Jesus Christ that we have the privilege of addressing God as Abba, our Father. No other religion dare teach us to address God as Father. Look for one religion in the world today. Not even the Jews dare address God as Father. Think of our rights. When I come here to your country, I hear about your rights. All the time you people are harping about your rights. But do you know what our real rights are? As Christians, as children of God, we have the right to peace, because Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. We have the right to be righteous, not because we are righteous, but because of Christ. We have the right to claim anything, anything. This world is yours, he says, if you would claim it in my name. Talk about rights. And what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? If we don't claim our rights, and yet you feel, oh, I shouldn't go and tell this man, he get offended. Let him get offended. But he has to know that Jesus is the Savior. I don't care whether he get offended or not, because I'm helping him. That's our right. We fight for our rights. You fight for your rights. Let us fight for our true rights. Because Jesus says, go. Go into the world and tell and teach and make disciples out of the nations. He says, make disciples, not just Christians. We have so many Christians, but they are not disciples, because they don't continue in the word. They don't know the word. How can they be disciples? And only when you become a disciple, you will know the truth. And then you will be free. These are the steps. What is a disciple, after all? A disciple is a person who has been disciplined to follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. And then we will know the truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. And unless we stand with Jesus, we will not know the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. No way, no going. No truth, no knowing. No life, no living. We go, we know, we live because of Jesus. So we don't care for the restrictions that are in this world with us. The first Pentecostal missionary, or the first Pentecostal message that came into Burma, came in through the back way, as we say, from the Yunnan province in China. Brother J.C. Morrison was a missionary over there. And in the old days, our tribal people, way up in the north country, they can also walk into China, in the border area, and those people could come in. So they sometimes go to the market over there, and one day they were there, and they saw a white man standing in the market square, talking their dialect and telling them about Jesus. So they were quite amazed. And they came back and they told their chieftains on this other side, hey, we saw a man talking our language, and he's a white man. So they said, next time you go, try and ask him to come over to our side. So they went back, tried to locate it. Brother Morrison, they did find him, but he couldn't come along right away. So he sent a young Chinese boy and a Lisu boy, and they walked into Burma. That was the first Pentecostal message that came into our country through the back door, as we would say. Then the Lord began to help these people. The Spirit fell on them and villages began to be converted, even before Brother Morrison got there. And then when Morrison heard about this, he came to see for himself that, and he found that it was true. He was so moved that he asked the British authorities to come in to Burma as a missionary. And they granted him that permission, so he came into Burma. Even then, that was way up in the North Country. Then Second World War came. There was persecution and all that, but the local leaders, they carried on. And the Lord began to bless because the Holy Spirit was there. And when Brother Morrison came back after the war, the church has grown 4 or 5 times. And now that area we call God's country, because from the provincial town of Putao, you can walk for days, weeks, way up to the China border. And every village is an Assemblies of God village. All those people are Christians. You won't find one person smoking or drinking or cursing. Not one. In 1981, we had a golden anniversary, the 50th Jubilee. We went up there in Putao, and the government gave us a piece of property, 250 acres, to prepare for that convention. And we prepared for 3 years in advance. The people raised their own chicken, their pigs, and the cows, and rice, and they prepared that place, made roads, and those roads are named Isaiah, Jeremiah, St. John, St. Peter. And we had 50,000 people for 7 days. That was a camp meeting. And we fed 50,000 people for 7 days. And they came from all over. And today, the government has given us that property in the name of the Assemblies of God. We've got 2 big churches there already, with hundreds of families moving in, and more are coming. So, well, we talk about restrictions, but there again. In Rangoon, in 1966, the missionaries were asked to leave the country within a month's time. I had just come in thinking that I would just kind of tag along, and you know, the missionaries are there and we could just go along easy. But all of a sudden, the government says, after 4 months I've come in, all foreign missionaries must leave the country within a month's time. We just bought an old broken down Lutheran church in downtown Rangoon, planning to renovate it and start a new church over there. Then they'd left, I was left back with a broken down old church, 10,000 charts in debt, never been to a Bible school, and I'm supposed to take care of that whole setup there. But then we had to look to Jesus. So I would come out on a Sunday, I just read my Bible and say, this is the word of God, we have to believe it. I believe it, and if you will believe it, things will happen. And things did happen. Sick people will come, and we say, the Lord says, if we lay hands and pray, you'll be healed. And they were healed. So these are the people that go out and tell their families, and they bring in them again. So during that time, you know, when the government started to confiscate everything, at first we thought the government was going Marxist. But our government is not a Marxist government. It is a socialist government, but it is not a Marxist government. And in fact, it's an anti-communist government. It is strict, in a sense, because I guess she has to be under the circumstances. But as far as we are concerned, as nationals and locals, we are still free to preach and teach. I hold crusades during Christmas. Of course, I have to put up applications and all that, but we still have the permission. Thousands of people will come and listen to the gospel. So there I was when I first started. And the Lord helped. People began to come. And we were blessed. And today in every service, I have at least 1,000 people coming. And I'm holding 3 services on Sundays. We're in the midst of building a new sanctuary now. And when it's finished before Christmas, it's going to see 2,000 people. We have a Sunday school that is over 1,000 children every Sunday. And most of these children, over 50, 60% of them come from non-Christian homes. So, why is this happening there? The Holy Spirit again. That's all. And we do believe it's that. That's the way it is. So, I'm happy that I can be here and give you some of these things that is happening over there, because we're a family and we like to come and share. Think of us, pray for us, we are praying for you. And I want to tell you this, that we feel more concerned for you people over here. Don't pity us. Don't think we are in a bad situation. We know that you are in a worse situation than we are. Because you don't know your enemy, we know our enemy. It is very dangerous when you don't know your enemy. Who do you fight when you don't know your enemy? And I feel, I could see that there's a big struggle coming in America. The devil wants America. The devil wants to smash America. The devil wants to break America in pieces, because America stands for Jesus Christ. And the devil doesn't like that. It's only for the faithful few that the Lord is still here. So friends, I want to encourage you. You don't have to go to China. You don't have to come to Burma. You just be where you are, but tell people about Jesus. That's your calling. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hold on to the Pentecostal belief, because this is the Bible. This is what the Lord teaches, especially in the last days. What will we do without the Holy Spirit? May the Lord bless you, keep you. Praise God.